morning to speak on a favorite psalm. And a psalm that's meant a lot to me in recent years is Psalm 91. If you could turn there this morning, we'll be looking for a few minutes at Psalm 91. If we could open in prayer. Father, thank you for this time we have to encourage each other with song and prayers and praises, and most of all in your word. I pray you would guide me this morning, guide all of us to hear what you would have us to hear and to use it for your glory. In Christ's name, amen. It occurs to me that this psalm is quite appropriate for the times we're in. We're looking at three crises in our nation right now, seems to be. The first one is the obvious one, the health crisis, the coronavirus. It has impacted a lot of people. There is a side crisis from that, the economic one. I personally experience this daily in my work. I answer phones for a Northwest utility. And honestly, it can be wearing to hear people on the phone every day. They're wondering how in the world they're going to make ends meet, much less pay a utility bill. And so this is something we see in the news. We're aware of how long it can take to get an unemployment claim through. People are wondering what they're going to do to make ends meet. Small businesses, huge amount of questions for them when many of them will start phasing back in, reopening. There's still a lot of uncertainty out there. And then sadly, the racial crisis right now in our country, how it's has once again reared its ugly head in our nation. It occurs to me that man's ideas and solutions to these problems, while partly admirable and sometimes compassionate, can really never fully solve them. It's for those of us who know God as his children, though, this psalm speaks of the great comfort and blessing we have of living close to him, even in these difficult times and circumstances. I'd like to go ahead and take a minute and just read through and then bring some devotional thoughts. I'm reading today from the NIV. He who also dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, from even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, you will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So looking at this psalm, something striking that was pointed out to me that I noticed, there are four different names of God that are named in the first two verses, of this psalm. He who dwells in the shadow of the Most High. The Hebrew there is El Elyon. This is the God that is above all else. So if we dwell in him as our shelter, there really isn't anything that can harm us. There was a beautiful picture the first time this name was used of God when Melchizedek, priest of Jerusalem, brought Abraham the offering after Abraham's great victory in that chapter. It seems fitting that the Most High God is the one who triumphs for us, who goes before us, and protects us from these crises and dangers. The second one is the Almighty, the Hebrew El Shaddai, the mighty, powerful God that supplies all of our needs. Now, notice I didn't say supplies all our wants, that we want things that aren't necessarily good for us to have, but whatever we truly need, El Shaddai will supply it for us. The third name, most English translations have it all capital letters, Lord. This is Yahweh, the famous name that God first relayed to Moses when Moses was commissioned and told to go to Israel. Moses asked God, "Who shall I say sent me?" And God's answer was, "I am that I am." He is the self-existent, eternal God. He is before all things. He always has been, and he always will be. He's permanent. He will never change. God, it says in the scripture, God is not a man that he should lie or that he should repent. God says something, and he means it, and that settles it. The fourth name we see is my God in whom I trust, Elohim, the creator God, found first in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. I am told that that is a Hebrew plural form of the name. So we can think of that as our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is the creator of all things, and to his creation, he remains forever faithful. He evidenced that by sending his Son to redeem whosoever will on the cross. And we celebrated that this morning, breaking the bread. So if we rest in the shadow of the Almighty, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. We have a picture here that God saves us from the fowler's snare. That's a picture that's sometimes used in scripture of an enemy of God's children. The picture here is of something like a mother hen spreading her wings over her chicks, her feathers in verse 4, or an eagle protecting her young. He will cover you with his feathers. Under his wings, you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. He watches over us. He has promised to be with us. I don't know what there's to you folks, but there is something to me that things seem worse at night. It says the terror that comes at night, the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, things seem to be magnified in our human emotions when things are at night. But God is promised not only to protect us in the daytime, but at night as well. And then in the following verse, we have a parallelism there. It's often used by the Hebrews. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come here near you. When I heard those numbers, it made me think of the song of the Hebrew women in 1 Samuel when David returned from winning his battles. And they would sing, "Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s." And that's what helped make King Saul a lifelong enemy of David, his successor, although he didn't know it yet. But David was anointed by God, and David was protected through all the years of running. Many of the psalms in the Psalter in the English Bible are psalms that are attributed to David, and many of them say specifically, as he was running from Saul, he was hiding. So one even says when he feigned madness before Abimelech, the Philistines. David is praising God in many of these psalms for his protection. Now, we don't know who wrote this psalm. There is no author or title attributed to it. I have read that in Hebrew tradition, that if it was a nameless psalm, it was attached to the nearest writer before. And in this case, that would be the single Psalm 90 that's attributed to Moses in our Bibles, a song of Moses, the man of God. And it could very well be that Moses wrote this too, but we just don't know. But if Moses wrote it, it would be quite plausible. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. That brings to mind the episode at the edge of the Red Sea when Moses said to all Israel, "Behold your enemy, the Egyptians. You will see them no more ever again after this day," when God brought the judgment upon the Egyptian army. So we have great assurance in these verses so far. We see him punishing the wicked, keeping his kids safe. And ultimately we have safety, whatever degree we may find it, either in this life or the life to come. God keeps us. He has promised that. And then one of the most famous sections of scripture of all, in verses 11 through 13, "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." So that is the scripture that the enemy quoted Jesus when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. When Satan quoted this, he conveniently left out the phrase, "to guard you in all your ways." And the reason he left that out is that that didn't fit his purpose. The temptations that he presented to Jesus in the wilderness were basically to try and tempt Christ to shortcut his ministry, the sufferings that he was assigned to go through. He wanted to present Jesus with a quick path to glory. When he said, "All the kingdoms of the world I offer you, if you'll simply bow down and worship me," he had the authority to offer it. The Bible tells us that the world lies in the lap of the wicked one. At that point, that was a legitimate offer from the enemy. But Jesus said that you shall not tempt the Lord your God. You shall not put him to the test. And that's one of the big points of how we live our lives, is that it's not our prerogative to test God. But God often will send things into our lives. He will test us to show once again that we are his children. So that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Sometimes problems come. Sometimes we encounter the rocks and pebbles and things in our lives, the barriers, the hindrances, the problems. We have many of those in these times. The Bible says in the last days, perilous times will come. But we have a God who is all-powerful, who is above this, and can see us safely through it. It says, "You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent." That when there are spiritual enemies in our lives, reminds me of the armor in Ephesians 6. We put that on. We stand with God. We give us the tools that he has given us to use. We take those and we use them. And especially the offensive one, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. And there is a great set of promises at the end of this psalm. "Because he loves me," says the Lord, knows how much he does for us. "Because he loves me, I will rescue him." God will bring us out of these perilous situations that we may find ourselves in, whether it's a virus, whether it's economics, whether it's the ugly side of racism, the riots, the violence, the looting, the burning, whatever that is, God will rescue us from those, and he will protect us from the effects of those. "For he acknowledges my name," God says. "He will call upon me, and I will answer him." A verse that always made an impression on me was when God was speaking through the prophet Jeremiah in 33:1, he says, "Call on me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know." Now, God was speaking immediately to Israel through Jeremiah, but we can apply that to our lives today, that when we need wisdom, we need guidance, we need direction, we can call on God, and we can rest assured that he will answer us. "I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." Not only does God take us out of trouble, but oftentimes God resolves things in such a way that it brings honor to his children, and ultimately it honors his name as well. "With long life will I satisfy him and show him, most importantly, my salvation." Our ultimate reward is in heaven. Those of us who know Christ as Savior, we can be assured of our eternal future home. We know that God has saved us, not a shadow of a doubt. Jesus said once, "All that the Father gives to me, I have. No one can take them out of my Father's hand. And of those the Father has given me, I lose not one except the son of perdition." Jesus has given us his assurance that he will save us, he will preserve us, and he will bring us safely home. To me, that psalm has always been a great comfort. Dwelling in the shelter of the Most High, resting in the shadow of the Almighty, there really isn't any place better for us to be. Father, thank you for this time we've had to reflect on this psalm, reflect on your word. I pray you would guide us and bless us as we go out this week. Whatever is done and said in our lives, may it be your glory. In Christ's name, amen.